Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
But this morning, as I was asking the Lord what I should minister on, you know, I probably have like 20 gazillion sermons already written. And as I was going through them, nothing was clicking. I was like, nah. Nothing was going good for it. And while I was in the Life Center about a week or two ago, I came across some old MCC photo albums. And I was going through them. And really, this message was birthed out of the own conviction that the Holy Spirit placed on me. Because as I was going through it, you know, there were people slain in the spirit all over the floor, jumping around, running during the message. And I said the thought, God, if we could get back to those days. And the Lord convicted me in that moment, and he led me to the book of Haggai. So if you would, can we go to the book of Haggai this morning? I promise I won't take long. I got a timer on my phone. We'll be in the second chapter of the book of Haggai this morning. I'll give you a minute to get there. It's right between Zephaniah and Zechariah. And we're going to read the first 9 verses of this chapter. And as I was going through those photo albums, the Holy Spirit brought this place of scripture to my remembrance. And it says, on the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and to the remnant of the people. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing by comparison? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel. This is the Lord's declaration. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Work, for I am with you. The declaration of the Lord of armies. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord of armies says this, once more in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. And right here is where the Holy Spirit convicted me. The next verse says, the final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of armies. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Can we pray before we get into the word this morning? Holy Spirit, I thank you that this word will be implanted into the hearts of your people. Father, I'm praying that this word would take us to a new dimension, Father, that you are trying to take Unity Church into, God. I pray there'd be a shift in the spirit, Father, and that your people would understand this word and that you would anoint my lips to speak with fire and with boldness this morning. We thank you, God, and I just thank you that your anointing is going to operate in this place, Lord, as we draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was going through those photo albums, I was looking, and of course I had the thought, man, if we could get back to that. And I'd flip, and I'd be like, whoa, the youth group in that day. And I'd go through, and I'd go through, and I probably went through like 15 photo albums. And then, of course, the Lord led me here. And the Holy Spirit began to birth this message in me. So the first thing that I did is I went and I looked back at the context of this passage of scripture. And come to find out, in the Old Testament, you had Solomon's temple. And it was built, it was beautiful, extravagant, gold and silver all throughout it. It was considered to be one of the ancient wonders of the world. And somewhere around 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar came in and it was destroyed, completely and utterly destroyed. And so we get to the book of Haggai, and God charges the prophet Haggai to go to the people and, you know, charge them to rebuild the temple. However, this temple was going to be nowhere in comparison to Solomon's temple. It wasn't going to be, you know, adorned with beautiful jewels and gold and silver on the outside. And it wasn't going to be as large and extravagant as it once was. And So what happened is that the men who saw Solomon's temple, they were probably little boys when they saw Solomon's temple, are watching this new temple be built. And they're noticing, man, not a lot of gold and not a lot of silver. They're looking around and they're seeing all of these changes. And to them, it seems like God is giving them a downgrade. But this morning, I believe that this word is both prophetic for this church and his own time for this church, because God asked the people of Israel three questions here. And the first one is this: who left here has seen the former glory? And I know Magnolia Christian Center was a great church, no doubt in my mind. Wonderful, beautiful, did great things for God. But I want to ask, who left here has seen that former glory? And in saying that, I want to say this, is that as long as we recollect, we can never move forward with the move of God God wants to do today. Because what God did then, he may not want to do that now. The way he moved then, he may not want to move that way now. So as long as we get stuck in past reflection, we can never move to present action with what God wants to do in this church. Because as long as we get caught up in the name on the outside of this church, we'll never see a move of God. Because, and this is why, because God's not confined by the church title on the outside of the church. A move of God is not defined by what denomination, by what fellowship you belong to. Because I believe God wants to pour his spirit out on the Baptists just as much as the Pentecostals. I believe he wants to pour his spirit out on the Methodists and on the Episcopalians and on the Presbyterians just as much as he wants to do on the Assemblies of God. Because God is no respecter of persons. And I believe a tongue talker can be full of the Holy Ghost just as much as a Baptist person can be. He wants to move among all of his people. And he asked the question, who left among you saw that former glory? But he didn't ask the question to get an answer, because God already had the answer. He asked it to get them thinking, because the next question he asked is, does it compare to now? And though beginnings of the new temple were unimpressive, the people weren't very whoa with it. You know, it wasn't something where people walked by. Of course, they didn't have cars that day, but you know, they walked by and they weren't like, wow, it's beautiful, it's extravagant. But listen to this, and I believe this is so true. That temple would see great things way in the future that they never would have dreamed to see. Jesus himself would minister in that same temple. Not Solomon's temple, but the new temple that wasn't as beautiful and elegant as the other. So this is what I want to say concerning that. The work of God is important in every capacity. No matter the size of the church, no matter the numbers in the building, if you're working for the body of Christ, what you're doing for him is important, no matter how small or insignificant you think it is, because anything that leads someone to Jesus is important in the work of God. Whether you're a greeter at the door, whether you're on the worship team, you don't have to be on this stage to be involved in the work of God. You're involved in the work of God when you cut bushes outside the church. You're involved in the work of God whenever you're out and wherever you are, your occupation, whatever you do, you're involved in the work of God. Because wherever we are, we're called to be a light in this world. And so, though we may have small beginnings, though it may seem like Unity Church is slowly growing, I want to encourage you this morning, this is that the Bible says, is not the end of the thing better than the beginning? Is not the end of a thing better than the beginning? Because whenever the same Spirit, and I want to say this, the same Spirit that birthed Unity Church is still here today. The same moves of God we saw with Brownsville, the same moves of God we saw with Azusa Street, the same moves of God we saw with Magnolia Christian Center and with White Dove and with First Assembly is the same Spirit here today, and he's just willing, and he's more than willing to move now than he was then, because he is looking for a people that are hungry for him. Not hungry for people to come in and be impressed with the inside and with the outside of the building, because a move of God is not defined by how elegant and how nice the services are. Because you can have great lights and you can have a great speaker and you can have great worship, but if there's not anointing, there's no power to break the yoke of bondage. Without the anointing, all of this is in vain. All of this means nothing if there's not the anointing. Because Isaiah said it's the yoke. I'm sorry, false. He said it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Without the anointing, all of this is crashing cymbals in the ears of God. But I praise God that I belong to a church that operates fully in the anointing of God. And it's not ashamed to do it. I'm not ashamed. I'm a tongue talker this morning. I'll speak in tongues in Walmart wherever I want to. I'm proud I belong to a church that's not scared of their beliefs and their heritage. So this morning, the third question he asked was, is it as nothing to you, this temple, as Solomon's? And I wrote this down and I want to share it. It's not the impressiveness of church buildings that determines what God will do in those places or how they can serve his purposes. The only thing that will make a lasting spiritual impact is the Spirit of God in power and in demonstration. Because Paul said over in the book of 1 Corinthians, I don't come with wisdom of man's words. I don't come with eloquent speech, but one thing I come with and one thing I have, and that's power and demonstration of the Spirit. I believe that those out there in the world, those that aren't in here, they're tired of our words. They're tired of healing. God is a healer, but we can't lay hands on them and heal them. They're tired of hearing God. I'm going to get down here. He said, I'm tired of my people talking about it, but there's no walk. We can talk this word, but where is the character and the growth in the men and women in the body of Christ that will see this word put into action? Because faith without works is dead. Or I like this translation. It says, faith without corresponding action is dead. You can talk it up real good, but let me see you walk it out. Because a man and a woman of God is not defined by what they can say. They're defined by what they are living their life out to be. Who God's called them to be is defined by the way they order their life. Is it as nothing to you? And those three questions, he didn't ask because God didn't know the answer. He asked because he wanted the children of Israel to think about that. And I'm sure nearly every Israelite got convicted when God asked those questions through the prophet. Because just like them, when I was looking at those photo albums, man, the former glory. What God did in this place and what God did here and what God did there. But as I said, if we get so caught up in the past, God can't do what he wants to do in the present. And so, as I kept reading, I realized that God gave the children of Israel two commands for his glory to fill that temple. And I want to share those this morning. The first one is this. He says, be strong and not afraid, for his Spirit is among us. And this morning, he's not here in this place as he is now because of the church sign, because I'm speaking. Because as Paul said, I am the least among all of you. But he's here because of our obedience and our willingness to serve and to worship him. And I believe if we could put these two commands into practice, we will see the glory of God fill this house like it's never filled this place before. I'm talking about the same glory over in the Old Testament whenever it knocked the priests down to their feet and they couldn't stand in God's presence. But the only way to get there is through obedience. It's only through obedience. And so he says, be strong and not afraid, for his Spirit is among us. And as I said, the same Spirit that started Unity Church, the same Spirit that launched this place into existence, is the same Spirit that will carry us through unto the very end. The same power and the same demonstration will carry us through to the end. And as I read, be strong. And I'm just going to kind of dive in a little deep here. I'm going to take it slow. Whenever the Spirit of God wants to move and starts to move in a body, there will always be a spiritual attack. The enemy will do everything he can to see a move of God stopped. And so what we have to do as a body is, and I praise God that we have that here, is we have to have a group of intercessors that get locked in to the presence of God and they keep the attacks of Satan at bay. Because, and I believe this, is that whenever God's Spirit wants to move here, there will be all kinds of spirits that come to attack this place. But I thank God and I prophesy right now that every spirit that tries to rise up against Unity Church is broken and is cast down right now in Jesus' name. Because the only spirit that can reside here is the Spirit of God. Every spirit of Leviathan, every spirit of Absalom, every spirit of King Saul, it has to be broken because we have something to do and the enemy is not going to stop us doing what God wants us to do. We have got to stand strong in the Lord, not in our own might, because the Bible says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. And if we ever get out of operating in His Spirit, we'll get out of the flow of what He's wanting to do. Because the second we rely on our own strength and our own speech, our own voice when we sing, our own hands when we play, we begin to operate in our own flesh. And only thing our flesh can produce is nothing. Nothing. Not one thing. It can't produce anything. Nothing. But if we operate in the Spirit of God, and we get up here and we lay down our pride and we lay down any recognition we want and we say, God, use me so that your Spirit can move. I believe we're going to enter into a day that before we even sing a song, before we even say a word, the weight of His glory is going to fill this place and we're not even going to be able to sing. We won't even be able to preach, because if we will learn to be yielded, God will honor that and move in this place. What does it mean to be yielded? What does it mean if I'm yielded to His Spirit? It means I lay aside my agenda, the way I want things to go in a service. In youth, I've learned this, is that sometimes things aren't just going to go the way you want it to go in service. You know, the game may get a little awkward because maybe they just don't enjoy it. But I realize this, is that if I'll get out of my own agenda, out of what I want, out of what I desire, that gives God room to move, because He will always move in our weakness. And will always make us strong where we think we're weak. And so He says, be strong and not afraid. I believe what happens is when God's Spirit starts to move and the enemy starts to attack, what we do is we kind of back up. Because the enemy, he's relentless. He's not going to stop. And we're foolish to think that He will. Because the Bible says He's a roaring lion walking around seeking whom He might devour. And I don't want to be one whom He might devour. I want to be bold as a lion. I want to be strong in the Lord. And this morning, He tells us to be strong, for His Spirit is among us. His Spirit is among us. And the second thing He tells them is you've got to work. This is where I'm really going to start preaching right here. You've got to work. And what we're doing here is linked to something far greater than just Unity Church. It's linked to something far greater than just the region of Magnolia, Arkansas. Because what we're doing is based out of the kingdom of God. It's international. It's worldwide what we're doing here. And this morning, that linkage to what we are is what will drive us to see God move in this city. Because if we realize that it's not just about Unity Church, God can move here just as much as He can at Bethel Church. He can move here just as much as He can at Central Baptist and First Baptist. When we get out of that mindset that God can only move with the Pentecostals and the tongue talkers, we will see God move in this city, because God, as I said, is no respecter of persons and no respecter of denomination. We have to work for the harvest. And this morning, I remember in the Gospels, it says that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And I think we can get in this routine to pray, God, send them in. Oh, God, send in the drug addicts, send in the prostitutes, send them in, send them in. But really, God's telling us, go out and get them. Go out and get them. But the thing is we're too afraid to do that. I'm just going to tell it like it is this morning. We get scared. We get nervous. I don't want to go in that part of town. Ooh, that part of town's bad. But if His Spirit is in us, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, what's stopping us from going in to the most worst part of town and dragging them here into this place? You've got to work to see God move in this city and in this church. We can't sit down. I think that the biggest spirit that's coming against the church today is the spirit of complacency. We grow complacent. When God starts to move, we're like, all right, it's time for me to relax because He's going to take over. And He will take over, and He does take over. But the thing is that He's called us to do a work as well. We've got to push the plow. He'll give us the gas to see the plow push, but we've got to push it. He'll give us the power to push it. It's not all on God. We have got to be the ones that see God move in this city. We've got to work for the harvest. Not only that, but we've got to work together. I'm thankful that this church is called Unity Church, because we're united in purpose, we're united in one goal, and that's to see Jesus Christ glorified and to touch this city. And this morning, I want you to realize that if we're going to work together, we've got to be of one mind and of one accord. Because I can't serve like Jaron serves. I can't play the keys like Pastor plays the keys. I can't sing like Jasmine sings. I can't serve like anyone else in here serves. But you know what we can do? Is that Jaron can serve where God's called him. I can be where God's called me. And we can see this thing done. We can see God move in this city when we become content with where God has placed us in his body. We can't serve where other people serve. God has called us to a place where only we and only he has given us the anointing to accomplish it. We've got to work together. Because if Jaron's the arm and I'm trying to be the arm, there's going to be a tug of war going on. Or if Jasmine's the leg and I'm trying to be the leg, there's going to be tug of war going on. But if Jaron's the arm and I let Jasmine be the leg and I learn to be the hand, then it all works together. We've got to find where God wants us to serve. And serving is more than singing. Serving is more than sitting up here and preaching a message. Serving is wherever God has called you. I believe someone can serve whatever athletics they play just as much as they can here in the church. Because I believe Brenna can serve in the field, giving glory to God in what she does in her sports just as much as I can up here preaching this word. It's not about where you are. It's about who you're doing it for. Who you're doing it for. I can cut bushes and give much glory to God as I can standing up here preaching. Because it's all about your purpose and it's all about why you're doing it. Not about where God's placed you. You have to be content with where God has placed you. Now we've talked about the three questions. And we've talked about the two commands God gives us. To be strong in the Lord because the Spirit's among us. And to work. We've got to work for it. Not that we've got to earn it, but we've got to keep what God is doing on the burner. Because you can't just set a fire and expect it to stay going forever. You've got to keep throwing logs on it. You've got to keep, you know, going at the flame to get it to go more and more and more. We've got to learn to fan the flame of Unity Church. And so he says, to work. And then three blessings will occur as a result of us doing what God's called us to do. And I want to share them this morning. He said in verse 6, "For the Lord of armies says this, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies." The first thing that God promises is that there's going to be a shaking when we obey these two commands. A shaking. What does that mean, a shaking? God's going to shake Unity Church. And I wrote this down, and I believe that whenever God says he's going to shake it, and I'm going to kind of bring this into the context of Unity Church this morning. Here, he's really talking about, you know, the temple back then, and then, of course, when Jesus comes back and all of that. But this morning, I believe that whenever we obey God and we be strong and we work for a move of God in this place, that he's going to begin to shake some things up. And I'm about to explain what that means because it sounds a little weird, I know. But there's going to be a shaking. He's going to shake the drugs right out of the drug dealer's hands. And they're going to walk in here. And they're going to be touched by the power of God. He's going to shake the pornography right out of the pornographer's hand when they walk in this door. And they're going to be touched by the power of God. He's going to shake every cancer. He's going to shake every bondage. He's going to shake everything that does not align with the word of God off when we get in here and get in his presence. Because where God's presence is, anything of the enemy cannot abide. Where God is, the enemy cannot trespass. If God is here and if God is for us, anything the enemy brings against me, all I got to do is bring it to God. And he'll take it off of my shoulders. He said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. The word cast there actually means to heap, throw all your cares on me. When we get in his presence, he's going to shake some things up. And he's going to allow there to be a stirring. The second thing he said is that his glory will fill the house. But not just that. His glory will not only fill the house, but it will be greater than the former glory. What does that mean? I'll say this. The best is yet to come for Unity Church. We've only gotten a taste. We've only gotten a glimpse of what God's going to do through this body here, right here at Unity Church. We've only gotten to see a foreshadowing of what's to come to this place. Because if we obey those two commands, he said the latter glory will be greater than the former. The latter glory will be greater than the former. So, this morning, what does that mean? And going through those photo albums, really those photo albums kind of led me to this message, honestly, going through those photo albums. And I was going through them, and I just kept hearing the former glory, the former glory. And then I got here. It will be, and the latter glory will be greater than the former. And I was just kind of meditating on that. God, what are you saying to me through this? I had the photo albums out, and I had that verse right there. It's like, God, what are you trying to tell me? By saying that the latter glory will be greater than the former. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said this. And I'm just going to share it with you. And he led me to the Message translation of Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. And it says this. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out. A glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish. A place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness, the decree of God of the angel armies. And so to wrap this up this morning, he will make this place a place of peace as well. And when you couple that with the latter glory being greater than the former, I believe God's saying this, and I wrote this down. The word peace there means good health, abundant life, and well-being. Things being as they ought to be. And I believe that what God is doing, going back to the shaking, is that when he shakes things up, when he shakes people's positions up, when he shakes people where they serve up, what he's going to do is he's putting things in order the way they need to be for when he decides to come and move in this place. And I believe that what God is saying today is this, and I believe this is prophetic. God is setting things in order for the move of God that's about to be unleashed in this place. He's setting things in order. You may not be where you are now within the next few months. I'm just going to say that. You may not be serving where you're serving in the next few months. I'm just going to say that too. Because he's setting things in order. Because when he moves, we have to host his presence well. I think it's a slap in the face of God whenever he comes in this place. And we're just like, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We ought to host his presence well. When he comes in this place, he ought to feel like the royalty that he is. But what we do is we say, ooh, it's lunchtime. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. What we do is we put God on a time watch. But if he's not confined by time, I'm not going to place him on that. Because when God moves, he doesn't look at his watch. And if we're supposed to be like God, why do we look at our watch when he starts to move? Because if we're really hungry for God, and we really want his presence, and we really want to see him move in this place, I believe we'll reach a place in here to where we'll be in here 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, bringing complete worship and adoration to God. Now, does that mean that every single person in here will be in here 24/7? No, but I believe God is bringing us to a place to where we have such a hunger and such a desire and a complete interest in who he is that we'll do anything to get in his presence. Over in the book of Song, the Song of Songs, and I love this. Jasmine showed me this. It says that we'll get so on fire for God that it won't even be a sacrifice anymore. Coming to church on Sunday won't even feel like a sacrifice anymore. Coming in here every time the doors are open won't even feel like a sacrifice. Having to give up our time in bed a little earlier to be a greeter at the door won't feel like a sacrifice anymore. We'll find joy in serving God. And whenever we find joy in where God's called us, I believe that's when God can truly pour his spirit out. Because when you find joy where you're at, you host his presence well. And I'm thankful that we host his presence well in this place. Every time these doors are open. And that we're sensitive to his spirit, to the way he wants to move. And you know, and often I go back and I look at the Brownsville Revival on YouTube. And it's just one thing that I've noticed and that I really believe is what kept that move of God going is this. Is that they went in there and the only thing they had their mind on was Jesus. Not on what the person across from them was wearing. Not on this, not on that. Because at the end of the day, when God moves, he's not going to stick you in a line and say, okay, she's wearing a dress. I'm going to touch her first. That's not how God determines. I'm going to bless her. I'm going to bless him. Well, he just looks really nice today. I'm just going to bless him. The predeterminant to walking in the blessings of God is your willingness to obey him. So when we come in here and we host his presence, we have to be quick to obey what he's saying and where he's wanting to take the service. And so this morning, he will make this place a place of peace. And of course, as I said, when I read that, I was like, okay, you know, no conflict, nothing like that, no division. But then when I went and I looked at the root word for this, that's when I found it means good health, abundant life, and well-being. And so I was like, Lord, what are you saying with this? And he led me to John 10:10. It says, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And musicians and singers, you can make your way back if you want to. I'm going to wrap this up. This morning, I believe that God is wanting to take us to a new level of glory in this place. And I'm going to end this a little bit early so we can spend time in these altars. Because another thing I noticed about Brownsville is this, is that they were always wanting to seek the face of God. We've got to get back to the altar. We've got to get back to that place where we're on our face before God with no agenda, not even any prayer request, but all we say is, Jesus, Jesus, pour your spirit out, move in this place. And as I said, those three questions he asked, is this in any comparison to what it was then? And I want to ask this question, is not the end of a thing better than the beginning? What we've seen here already, God do here at Unity Church, the miracles, the financial blessings, what God's done, that is just a taste of what God's wanted to do in this place. And I shared this with Pastor about probably 3 or 4 months ago. I was opening in prayer, and I look up, and in my spirit, it's like I see this place just kind of split at the top. And I was praying, and it's like I saw flames of fire coming on every head that was in this place. And I believe that what God's wanting to do today is place a fire within us to where it won't even seem like a sacrifice anymore. And so this morning, if you'll stand to your feet.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.